Hola todo el mundo.
This is Dana. Me llamo Dana.
And this is Nina. Soy Nina.
Welcome to our podcast, Guatemala 2018, The Path to Freedom.
We are the hosts of this podcast in which we hope to further discuss some guiding questions and themes surrounding our trip to Guatemala. Throughout the course of this discussion, we will be joined by several peers who have accompanied us to Guatemala to share their thoughts and experiences.
Now, one particularly important aspect of this trip that we focused on and will continue to explore in our discussion today is a theme known as the Path to Freedom. Keeping this theme in mind, we invite you right now to simply take a few minutes to reflect upon the question, what would set you free in the context of the quality of life? Whatever your answer may be, or what ideas may come to mind, hold on to that thought and don't forget it, because previous to embarking upon our own journey, we too were asked this exact question.
So, with us here today, we have Jacqueline in grade 10 to share with us their responses to the question, what would set you free in the context of the quality of life? But more importantly, how their responses changed after traveling to Guatemala.
Initially, my mind went straight to money. The answer seemed so blatantly obvious. These people don't have money. Why can't we just give them money? However, I learned throughout the trip that this is not the solution. In fact, billions of dollars have been thrown at poverty in attempts to solve it, and it is not solving anything. Severe poverty often doesn't give people the space to even dream of an answer to the question we have asked ourselves. I learned a lot about extreme poverty on this trip, and I think one of the steps towards eliminating poverty is opportunity and education. We, as privileged Canadians, need to create opportunities for people to find the drive inside them to explore the foundations of a better life. I believe that education and opportunities are assets that would release people from this continuing impoverished cycle. Yes, of course, money would help a family buy dinner, but that doesn't actually solve any outstanding long-term problems that they face every single day. We need to be creating and supporting more educational resources and opportunities for these people to thrive and make their own money and learn how to do so. Like they say, give a man a fish and you feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish and you feed him for a lifetime.
While the answer to this question may vary for each individual, there seems to be a general consensus that essentially says that the major constraints in life are caused by lack of opportunity. So regardless of whether it's in reference to access to resources such as education, finance, support, etc., even if a person misses one of these aspects, it can really affect one's quality of life. Thank you so much for sharing your perspective, Jacqueline. In particular, I really agreed with the point you made about education and opportunity being the real solutions to poverty instead of simply believing that monetary funds alone can cure poverty. That was really insightful.
I agree. Now, with that said, for many of us who have just returned to Vancouver following such a life-changing trip, we may be wondering how we can continue to make a difference, especially overseas.
I think this is also a particularly tricky question for many people, given that youth don't necessarily always have the power or resources to make a huge difference in our communities by starting things such as an NGO. With us now here is Maggie to share some of her thoughts regarding the question, what do you think are some potential steps to continue assisting mothers and children at Project SOMOS? Or simply making a difference in your own community, regardless of whether it be big or small?
I think something that will assist children in Guatemala beyond just financial aid is simply just interacting with them. Whether it is face-to-face or through FaceTime, I believe that being yourself can serve as an inspiration for the children there. Unlike many of the mamas who don't dare to hope for the better ever since experiencing the cruelness of poverty, children dream of things such as prospect careers or how they want to contribute to their community. A well-known example amongst our Guatemala group is when I was interacting with two sisters at Project SOMOS. Simply by talking with them, even with my own broken Spanish, we were able to find out that we both play chess. We played at least a game every day since then, whenever we had free time. One of the sisters, Erica, had their local gardener to teach her chess, while I attended clubs led by a chess master at York House. Needless to say, she was amazing for her age, but think about how many children like her have these potentials that are locked in by the cage of poverty. And what about those who wouldn't even dream that they can become a chess master, for example?
Yes, and to elaborate upon those ideas, as Jacqueline mentioned earlier, money is not the sole solution to resolving a problem as complex as poverty, because there are often larger underlying issues that can go unchecked if we choose to focus simply on providing financial aid.
So in this sense, directing our attention towards establishing more fundamental development in areas such as education is much more pressing and I think can sometimes be overlooked. As Greg and Heather, the founders and coordinators of Project Somos, once mentioned, poverty is not only about the lack of resources, but more importantly, the lack of opportunity. I cannot overemphasize how profound this simple statement is.
Because if the women and children of Guatemala were to be granted equal opportunity, they would most definitely thrive and prosper to the same extent as anyone else. So in regards to some of the efforts we have been making upon returning to Vancouver, our group of students that traveled to Guatemala this past spring have actually began teaching English to the kids via Skype in order to help to further develop literacy development skills.
Switching gears a bit, I just want to add that this trip has been one of the most influential and unforgettable trips of my life, to say the least. In one aspect, I was able to interact and engage with so many wonderful people at the project that I don't think I'll ever forget, whether that be the mamas, the kids, the staff, regardless. So joining us today to further explore the question of how has this service trip changed your perspective, we have Emma and Ayanna.
This trip has very much changed my perspective on life. Prior to traveling to Guatemala, I was unaware of the realities of many of the resources we have available to us in Canada. Reflecting on the trip, I have learned so much. Specifically, my perspective has changed on the little things that I take for granted. I am now appreciative that I have a quality education, food in my fridge, and a loving and supportive family, and a house to live in. Furthermore, I am more interested in looking into the different resources in our communities in Canada that are not available in Guatemala. My perspective on life and privilege has been completely transformed after this trip, and now I can honestly say that I am interested and feel the need to help those who don't have the same opportunities as myself and a lot of the people who live in the same community as me.
I feel that a big thing for me to do with perspective was learning that education is a privilege that many people will never have the opportunity to have. I have always been someone who doesn't hate school, but it's not my favorite thing, and I think a lot of people feel the same. I had always thought of school as a burden. For example, in the morning going to school, I would be like, ugh, I don't want to go to school. Going to Guatemala completely changed my perspective on this and showed me that the reality of the matter, that many people would die to go to school every single day, which I don't really think of normally. What really did this for me was seeing how ecstatic the children on the project were to learn. The kids were taking any chance they had to learn new things. For example, at the dinner table, they would practice their English with us and ask us questions and try to use their skills best they can to improve new skills that they wanted to learn from us. This amazed me because these kids get the chance to learn in a place where that is not necessarily what is happening for everyone, and it's like kind of one few get to learn and get the privilege to have an education and like the opportunity to learn things. They took this opportunity and they were using it. Also, the kids didn't even just want to learn, they actually got so much joy out of their learning. I saw this especially while helping out in preschool and seeing how excited and eager they were. The teacher would ask a question and the hands would go shooting up. The kids were so excited, and this made me realize that a large amount of children all over the world were not able to get an education like us, who get to go to school every day without even having to think about it. It's similar to food and water. Like, we don't think about the fact that we always have access to food, clean food and water in Vancouver, and a lot of places don't. It's kind of the same with education. Like, we have access to education without even thinking about it. We go to school and it's part of our everyday regime, but in a lot of places people would kill to have this. So I began to think about school a lot differently when I came back, and I began to see how much of a privilege it is that I get to learn and I get to go somewhere with the education that I have.
I definitely agree with that. For me, I'm constantly asked what career I want to pursue and what universities I want to go to. Similar to Ayana's previous attitude about school, being asked those questions irritated me. After going on the trip, though, I've realized that the fact that I'm able to choose my future is a massive privilege that I still overlook on a daily basis. In this way, my perspective about the opportunities that I have has shifted tremendously.
For sure. Personally, I've been feeling really inspired ever since I traveled to Guatemala to get more involved within my community to make a difference, regardless of whether it be big or small. I think that even just aiming to better the life of one person is an amazing feat in and of itself. Now, another one of our guiding questions was, how is your experience different from what you thought it would be like previous to going? As humans, it's inevitable that we will have some sort of preconceived notion or expectation of an event before it happens, whether that be subconscious or not. So to explore this phenomenon and see how it actually played a role into some of the experiences surrounding our service trip, we have with us Amneet to respond to this question.
Before we set out to Guatemala, I'd previously already visited several impoverished and developing countries, such as Cuba and India. In this sense, I generally knew what to expect in regards to accommodations and standards of living. I was also wary to some of the possible sites we'd encounter, and in this way, I was not too shocked as we were driving around the more rural villages. However, what struck me the most were the vast differences in the standard of living, mere miles apart. For instance, for one night we stayed in the Barcelo Hotel, which is a hotel that is regarded globally with high ratings. Though a 20-minute drive, or maybe even a 10-minute drive from this hotel, would take you to a village or houses with poor sanitation and children that are unable to go to school because the cost is too high. This vast contrast was what struck me the most and was something I did not anticipate.
It's really interesting that you say that because after the trip, Ms. Grant actually told my socials class about someone she knows in Guatemala who leads an exceptionally luxurious lifestyle in the midst of a country full of poverty. This kind of huge gap in economic classes is deeply concerning, and I agree with what you said earlier about the contrast being shocking.
I definitely agree. A huge concern in many developing as well as developed countries is the rising disparity between the rich and the poor. One statistic I came across the other day that really shocked me was the fact that the world's 8 richest men have the same amount of wealth as half of the world, according to The Guardian. How unbelievable is that? Now, with that said, there are also many pressing needs of Guatemalan communities that are not only extremely important to acknowledge, but also to address. To draw from a personal example, while we were visiting a small village just outside of Tecpan, Señora Marte advised us to look around and note what was and was not present within the community. It was at that moment that I was actually able to notice that there was not a single hospital or university for miles to be found. I think this was really telling of the fact that such institutions are not even present in some Guatemalan communities. So as you listen in on this podcast, we hope to leave you with a question to consider. How can we work to develop more awareness around some of the pressing needs of Guatemalan communities? Of course, there's no one answer, as each of our guiding questions today were exceptionally complex. But simply taking the time to consider such multifaceted issues and questions is a great start to creating social change.
While there's lots to be said about such topics, our podcast today will draw to an end here. As we conclude today's series, we'd just like to thank all the students that were willing to participate in our podcast and take the time to reflect upon their experiences.
Muchas gracias por escuchar y hasta luego!